dies, it bears much fruit. He was speaking of himself. His atoning death as payment for sin that held all of creation in bondage, the death that was the climax of our chapel proclamation yesterday, is also the foundation for the proclamation of new creation today. For when the Son, through whom and for whom all creation came to be, was made man, he took up the work of restoring his creation, making it new, and the hard work of freeing creation from sin's dominion climaxed in the Father giving his beloved Son, the righteous one, suffering for all unrighteousness. And on the sixth day, the Son cried, "It is finished." And then, as in his first creation, he rested on the Sabbath, not in his heavenly throne room, but in an earthly tomb. The cosmic result of his work of restoring his creation became apparent already on that first day of a new week, when he was raised by the Father as the first fruits of a new creation. Yes, all proclamation of new creation and its first fruits is grounded in the crucified one who has been raised victorious and lives eternally, never to die again. All creation's future, the future of our own bodies, is bound to his crucified and risen flesh. That flesh that was raised on the third day and lives forever. The risen Christ is the first fruits of the new creation for us to see and to be certain of what our future will be. When the bodies of our sheep are racked with cancer, or their minds are being ravaged by Alzheimer's, we point them to the first fruits of the new creation, the risen and living Jesus in his living flesh and blood. In that flesh and blood, they see their future. The pattern of fallen creation that was proclaimed yesterday, death, 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 was finally changed in him who is the resurrection and the life, 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 life. As Paul says in his great resurrection chapter, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ." Jesus said, "But if it dies, it bears much fruit." We ask ourselves, much fruit? The risen Christ certainly is the first fruits of the new creation, but is that the only fruit of new creation that we will see before our own resurrection and before the restoration of his creation on the last day? Death, suffering, war, hatred, violence, tornadoes seem to be fruitful and plentiful in the creation all around us, not only in Iraq and Syria, but also in Boston's Marathon, Washington's Navy Yard, Chicago's parks, and Moore, Oklahoma. We ask, Lord, where is this much fruit of the new creation? If the crucified and risen Christ is the first fruits of the new creation, then the first fruits are also present and visible in those who have been joined to Christ, baptized into his death and resurrection. The Apostle Paul wrote of this in the reading that we just heard from Romans chapter 8, where after writing of how the whole creation is longing for the revealing of the sons of God on the last day, Paul states, "And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." The Holy Spirit joins us to Christ so that we are in Christ and he is in us. New creation, therefore, is not just a future reality that we will see in the last day in resurrected and glorified flesh, but it's also a present reality within us through the Spirit who has joined us to Christ. Although our bodies get older and decay, reflecting the fallen creation, we are also the body of Christ with the first fruits of the new creation, Christ himself in us, already at work. And that is why Paul declared in his second letter to the Corinthians, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." The first fruits of the new creation is not seen, however, in better eyesight, stronger muscles, lower blood pressure, but those fruits are visible in unshakable faith, in love that knows no bounds, and in enduring hope. Our life produces fruit because we are united to the Creator, who has overcome the bondage of his creation to sin. It is he who taught, "Abide in me and I in you." As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The first fruits of the new creation are seen in you because you have been joined to the source of the new creation, the risen and living Christ. What does this new creation in an old body look like? Lily was only 36 when she noticed the tremors in her hands getting worse. The diagnosis came a short time later, early onset Parkinson's disease. It afflicted everything she did. She was able to walk, although with a shuffle for the next 8 years, but after that, it was in a wheelchair, in a bed, in a nursing home for 33 years. Her beautiful voice that had been a soloist in church and in choirs became a faint whisper. Her stiff body reflected the old fallen creation with its pain and with its suffering. But inwardly, she was a new creation. And that new creation daily shone forth from her ailing body in her cheerfulness and suffering, her love for her Lord and people, her keen concern for her family and friends, her consistency in prayer and praise, her hunger and thirst for Christ's body and blood, even when she had trouble swallowing the smallest morsel of food or drink. And her constant, constant hope for a glorious restored body on the last day. The new creation shone forth from her crumbling earthen vessel. Yes, you too have witnessed the first fruits of the new creation in the body of Christ for the past 2,000 years. I witnessed it in Lily for decades. She was my mother. The wonderful news about the new creation is that the best is yet to come at Christ's parousia, his return. As Paul declares in our reading, "For I consider the sufferings of this present age not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us." The first fruits of Christ's resurrection and the Spirit in us are just a small foretaste of the bountiful harvest that will take place on the last day, not only the resurrection of our bodies unto glory, but the restoration of all creation and communion with God unhindered by sin. Our resurrected feet will have ground and green grass to walk on. Our resurrected ears will hear the praise of all of creation, men and women singing, birds chirping, lions purring. Our resurrected mouth will taste food and drink that have no rival and were not arrived at through toil. Our resurrected hands will touch trees and animals, and some of those animals might look like twins of past pets. Sorry, Paul, just stealing a little of your thunder. Our resurrected eyes will see the beauty of Eden restored and the face of God himself. The book of Revelation gives us a glimpse of this glorious future. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things, Panta, all things new. He is making all things, you and all of creation, new. Christ is risen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.